looking at Daniel. One of the verses that we have been using as a core verse, one that just encapsulates all that we're wanting to bring to you, is from Romans chapter 12, verse 2. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, His good, His pleasing, and His perfect will. Say good. Pleasing. Perfect. Will. God's perfect will for your lives. Some of the lessons that we have been putting across to us that we can learn from even the first three chapters. In chapter one, you've got to know who you really are. You know, the Babylonian culture, King Nebuchadnezzar wanted to change the names, and he did change the names of Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. He changed their names to Babylonian names, and wanted to change who they worshipped, wanted to change what they stood for, but the good news was that they stood for God and didn't allow just the culture of Babylon to influence their life. For us as Christians, there is many influences in our world. Everyone's doing it. Let's just do it. Who's going to care? What's it going to matter? But you know, God wants us to live our lives by His word and His purposes and His perfect will for our lives. And that's a journey of discovery, of discovering what that is. Last week, we looked at just the dream that Nebuchadnezzar had of the gold statue, or in fact, it was a statue, but had all different components. The head was made of gold. And then there was different metals for the body and the legs and the feet there. Maybe that was one of the ways or the influences for Nebuchadnezzar to build a statue made of gold. He heard last week, or he heard when Daniel said, that he was the head of gold. And so Nebuchadnezzar wasn't just satisfied with being the head of gold. He wanted everything. He wanted to be all the statue, and he made a gold statue that people would bow to his gods and that people would bow to what he was wanting them to bow to. Today's truth that I want you to know is we've got to know who we can depend on. You've got to know who you can depend on today. Thank God for friends and family. Thank God for people around us that care for us and help us. But you know, the truth is, sometimes we feel let down. Sometimes our friends and our family members do things and say things that don't build us up, that don't encourage us. And so we need to trust in our loving Heavenly Father, because He is perfect. He is love. And He does have the best for us. So yes, thank God for those that are around us. Thank God for the family of God there. And so Daniel chapter 3, Nebuchadnezzar, as we saw, built a huge 90-foot statue of gold. He was the head of gold, now he's the whole statue. And came across and says, when you hear the music, everyone was to bow down. And you know, again, reading into this, I think music actually soothes people into obedience or doing things. Do you know, it's why the music industry is just so big. It's influential. Music is influential. I was reading the other week, it was at the Beatles. John Lennon says that we're even more famous than Jesus. That was one of the things that he said, was the following of people that they had. That music does influence people's life. Put yourself in the place of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Put yourself in them. Imagine the position that they're in. They're called forward. They're told that they're to bow to a false idol, an image of gold. If they don't, they're going to burn in a furnace. Now, just imagine, yes, these guys, they stood for their faith, but they were human just like you and I. So we don't know what was going through their heads. They might have been thinking, okay, this might be our last. There was also the feelings of, well, we serve God. He will come through for us. Maybe there was a confidence in there. The mental torture, they would be remembering, you must not bow, as it says in Exodus, to any other god. You must not make for yourself an idol or any image. Anything in heaven or on earth or in the sea, you must not bow down to them or worship them. For I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God who will not tolerate your affections for any other gods. And yes, as Andrew was rightly saying, we don't have gold statues in our homes. We don't have idols that we come and we worship. But there is things that take up our time and our energy and our affections. And we have to, and I believe God will, put his finger on some of the things that's just coming before him. Television, media, phones. Do you know, there are so many things that just come before us, just coming before God. Do you know, none of these things are wrong. It's just, where is the time? How much energy? What is, do they have our heart? Do they have our heart? Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, as they stood there, if I was there, some of the thoughts that would be going through for my mind, well, I'll bow today and live tomorrow. I can still be an influencer. I can, yes, still carry on with that. Live today, fight tomorrow. Would be maybe, we can still influence other people. Bow and live. Everyone else is bowing. So why not? Nobody's going to notice. But God notices. It's a posture of heart. And I believe as Daniel had this, as these three men had this, that conviction and that resolve, that they bowed to no one other than God. And you know, that attitude, that stance, will make you stand out from the world. When people say, come to this party, there's going to be drink, and there's going to be this, and we're going to have a great time, and we're going to be doing this, and you say, no, I don't do that. Do you know, what are you doing at the weekends? Well, I'm going to church. What? Church is old-fashioned. Church is useless. Church doesn't make sense, whatever. But we need that resolve. We worship God. And so these three young men, true to their faith in God, are thrown into the fiery furnace. The title of my message today is The Fourth Man. The Fourth Man. The fourth man. Nebuchadnezzar is angry. It says that his face was distorted. Such was the anger that these men would not bow to him, the most powerful king. And Daniel, or these three young men, refused. You refuse to serve my gods or bow down to worship the gold statue, it says in verse 14. And then King Nebuchadnezzar asks a great question. What God will be able to rescue you from my power? What God will rescue you from my power? Little did he know that there was a God who would rescue them. Do you know, faith in God, that confidence in God that these young men had, that God would deliver them from the fire. The truth is that we need that faith in God, that confidence in God. The world, the devil, wants to destroy your faith. He wants to destroy your trust in him. And he will come for you. But greater is he who is in us than he who is in the world. We have a part to play. We have a choice to make. Moses, it says, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. And he chose to share the oppression of God's people when they found out that he was a Hebrew. Do you know what I mean? Maybe he could have tried to keep it quiet and still been in the king's court, but he refused all the royalty for the oppression of his people. He refused. And my question is, what are some of the things that we need to refuse to allow into our lives? What are some of the things that we need to refuse into our life? You know, Isaiah gives us a great message. And you know, for us this morning, people sitting in these seats this morning are facing some trials. You know, might not be getting thrown into a fiery furnace, but they talk about trials being like fire. Job was a man tried like gold. He was in a fire of trial and testing. The devil wants to rob our faith. He wants to kill our faith and our trust in God. God wants to test it. How do we get stronger in our faith in God? Won't it be easy if God just gave us an increase? Oh, faith in God. Press a button. God, just give me, can you give me another download? Oh, back in top level faith. He doesn't. He brings us and allows things to come into our life where we have to make a choice. Am I going to trust in God? Or am I going to trust what the world says? I trust in my own strength and my own knowledge and my own wisdom. And when we, through the trial, trust in God, I believe our trust and our faith gets stronger. Imagine these three men walking out of that fire, heads held high. God came through. God came through. Do you know, if another trial came, how do you think they would feel? Well, God did it before. And he can do it again. I mean, whoever has been in a furnace seven times hotter, even as they took them to the fire and the soldiers were evaporated sort of with the heat. But these three young men were in the fire. And here's another truth. God comes to us. God is with us and delivers us in the fire. Do you know, he could have killed that king. He could have blown out that fire. But the men went in, and there was a fourth man in the fire. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. When you pass through the rivers, they will not sweep over you. When you walk through the fire, you will not be burned. The flames will not set you ablaze. So this morning, for those that are facing some difficult situations, God is with you. He's with you in the fire. He is with you in the fire. And this is a time not to give up. This is a time not to say, what is the point? I'm giving up. This is a time to say, God, I need you. God, I need you. I'm trusting you, God. So, as we close, as we finish, we're going to be doing one other thing at the end. The challenge, the encouragement for us as believers, I believe in this current society, this current climate, is to stand firm, but to love well. You know, just don't stand for your belief. Well, I believe that, and you're going to hell, is what a lot of people are standing on streets and saying to people. Do you know what I mean? This is the truth. This is the truth. You're going to hell. That's the truth. But it's truth and grace. Jesus was the only one that could condemn anyone. But he showed love and he showed compassion. And for us as believers in our world today, it's how do we stand firm and love well? When the world seems against us, God has called us to love them. And we need his Holy Spirit We need God's heart, church. We have to stand firm. Do you know, many people all over this world are losing their lives, are like this, being thrown into fire, being killed for their faith. And they are not compromising their faith. They are standing for Jesus. And for us, that is a challenge. 1 Corinthians chapter 16. Here's some advice. Would you like some advice? Be on your guard. Stand firm in the faith. Be courageous. Be strong. And do everything in love. Wow. I think we should put that on my fridge. Or our wall. Be on your guard. We've got to be on our guard. The devil roams the earth looking for those that he can isolate and annihilate. Do you know, get you on your own. Get you to feel that nobody's with you, that nobody cares. He is there, and that is why we need each other. We need to keep connected with one another, in church and out with church. Standing firm takes courage. Standing firm in our world today takes courage. When everybody's saying yes and we say no, when everyone's saying no and we say yes, courage isn't the absence of fear. Courage is standing firm in spite of the fear. Refuse to compromise God's word. Refuse to compromise the gospel. Refuse to compromise your witness as a follower of Jesus. Standing firm in faith. God is with you. He is the fourth man in your fire. He is the fourth man in your fire. And you know, standing firm, standing and standing out does influence other people, I believe. Do you know, living in a world where everyone's doing the same thing, you get noticed when you're doing something different. You get noticed when you're going against the crowd. Do you know, when you're going against the crowd, people get irritated. People get, where are they going? And these three men, as they stood for God and would not bow to this idol, had influence on the king, who said, this, their God, is the true God. Therefore, my dear brothers and sisters, stand firm. Let nothing move you. Always give yourselves fully to the work of the Lord. Standing for Jesus in a time when everyone seems to be against Jesus takes faith, and it takes courage, and it takes being together and supporting and encouraging one another. When we're going through trials, we need Jesus there with us. This is not a time to bail out. This is a time to press in. And one phrase, you know, as I prayed and I said, God, how do we apply this? God, what is it that you want to do today? And I was reminded of John the Baptist. As people were saying to John the Baptist, are you the Messiah? Are you the one? And John says, I am not the one. I'm not even worthy to untie his sandals. But there is one coming who is even greater than I am, who will baptize you in the Holy Spirit and will baptize you with fire. He will baptize you with fire. And I was reminded of the two men, or the two disciples on the Emmaus Road. Jesus was crucified. They were disappointed. They were discouraged. All their hopes was in Jesus. And here they were, walking back that Emmaus Road, discouraged, disappointed. Well, we thought he was the one. We thought we were going to see deliverance come. Do you know, he did miracles. He healed people. He raised the dead, and he couldn't even raise himself. We are, and again, in that disappointment, but that fourth man, Jesus, turns up walking along the road with them and talks to them in their disappointment, in their discouragement. And it was after it, what did they say? Wow, didn't our hearts burn within us as he spoke with us? And the phrase that I just heard was that the fire in us would be greater than the fire around us. That the fire in us would be greater than the fire around us. If God wants to put a fire in our hearts, fire talks about passion. Fire talks about zeal and just our love for him. And we wanted to, if you are up for it, we wanted to pray for every person here that a fire would just be in your heart for Jesus. Do you know, for some, maybe your heart's grown cold. Do you know, things have just, again, you can dampen a fire. Too many things can dampen out that fire. Overwork, problems, situations can dampen that fire. But I believe God wants to come and touch hearts. And the only way we felt that we could do this, or the most practical way, is we are going to have just a prayer tunnel. We're going to just form two lines here, one here and one here, with some of our leaders. We're only going to pray that the fire of God's love would come and fill your heart.